வேதேஷு பௌருஷம் சூக்தம் தர்மசாஸ்திரேஷு மாணவம் பாரதே பகவத்கீதா புராணேஷு ச வைஷ்ணவம். ஐ வெல்கம் யூ ஆல் ஒன்ஸ் அகெய்ன் ஃபார் த தேர்ட் செஷன் ஆஃப் ஸ்ரீ விஷ்ணு புராணா. வி ஹவ் டெல்ட் இன் டீடைல் அபவுட் த கான்செப்ட் ஆஃப் டைம், த டிவிஷன் ஆஃப் டைம், சிருஷ்டி, ஸ்திதி அண்ட் சம்ஹாரா. பகவான் கிரியேட்ஸ் திஸ் யூனிவர்ஸ் டிரெக்ட்லி அண்ட் தென் டெலிகேட்ஸ் த சேம் டு சதுர்முக பிரம்மா. இன் டர்ன் பிரம்மா ஸ்டார்ட்ஸ் திஸ் கிரியேஷன், ஹி கண்டினியூஸ் வித் இட். வி ஆல்சோ டுவெல்ட் ஷார்ட்லி ஆன் த ஃபோர் கேட்டகரிஸ் ஆஃப் டெலியூஜ், பிராகிருத பிரளய, நித்திய பிரளய, நைமித்திக பிரளய அண்ட் ஆத்தியந்திக பிரளய. ஐ ஹட் ஜஸ்ட் மேட் அ பாசிங் ரிமார்க் அபவுட் பிரஹ்லாத நரசிம்மா அண்ட் ஸ்ரீ வராஹாவதாரா. தேர் வெர் டூ அசுரஸ், ஹிரண்யகசிபு அண்ட் ஹிரண்யாக்ஷா. ஹிரண்யாக்ஷா வாஸ் கில்டு பை வராஹாவதாரம் ஆஃப் நாராயணா. ஹிரண்யகசிபு வாண்டட் டு டேக் ரிவெஞ்ச் ஆன் ஸ்ரீ மகாவிஷ்ணு. ஹி கெயின்ட் பவர் பை கண்டக்டிங் ஆஸ்டரிட்டி மெஷர்ஸ் அண்ட் பெனன்சஸ். ஹி வாஸ் பிளெஸ்ட் பை பிரம்மா நாட் டு பி அஃபெக்டட் பை எனி ஹியூமன் பீயிங்ஸ் ஆர் ஆனிமல்ஸ். ஹி வுட் நாட் பி கில் டியூரிங் த டே நார் டூரிங் த நைட், நாட் அவுட்சைட், நாட் இன்சைட், நாட் இன் த ஈதர், நாட் ஆன் மதர் அர்த். தோஸ் வேர் த பூன்ஸ் விச் வேர் சாட் பை ஹிரண்யகசிபு டு பிரம்மா. பிரம்மா ஹூ வாஸ் பிளீஸ்ட் பை த தபஸ் ஆஃப் ஹிரண்யகசிபு கிராண்டட் ஆல் தட் ஹி வாண்டட். ஹிரண்யகசிபு க்ரூ இன் பவர் அண்ட் ஹீ பிகேம் விக்கெட், ஸ்டார்டட் அப்ஸ்ட்ரக்டிங் ஆல் த தபஸ், யாக, யஜ்ஞ, ஸ்டார்டட் கில்லிங் த கவுஸ் அண்ட் பிராமணஸ். பட் ஹவ்எவர் பகவான் வாஸ் ஃபர்கிவிங் ஆல். ஹி வாஸ் டாலரேட்டிங் ஆல் திஸ் அட்ராசிட்டிஸ். ஹிஸ் பிஹேவியர் இஸ் ஹி டாலரேட்ஸ் எனி அஃபென்ஸ் அகேன்ஸ்ட் ஹிம் பட் நெவர் டாலரேட்ஸ் எனி திங் எனி ஒன் ஹூ அஃபென்ஸ் இஸ் டிவோட்டி. இஃப் யூ அஃபெண்ட் பகவான் யூ கேன் கெட் அவே வித் இட் பட் அஃபெண்டிங் இஸ் டிவோட்டி subjecting him to pain, we are never spared by Sriman Narayana. The evidence for this theory is Nrisimhavatara. Prahlada was an ardent devotee of Narayana. Narayana of course was the enemy of Hiranyakashipu. Any day Hiranyakashipu was waiting to take on Narayana. But to everyone's surprise, the son of Hiranyakashipu, Prahlada, was quite opposite to him. He was very pious, he was noble, he was learned, he was devoted, he had absolute faith on Narayana. But this could not be tolerated by Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu sent Prahlada to the school. In the school, the acharyas of asuras taught Prahlada who are their friends and who were their enemies. Devas are our enemies. Asuras and Rakshasas are our friends. Prahlada could not listen to that. He was under the opinion that everyone is the same in this universe. Brahman is the one who dwells inside everyone. He is not different. When the person who controls all of us is not different, then how can we differ? Why should we discriminate between people? O Tata, O Father, I cannot differentiate between an enemy and friend. As everyone looks to me like a friend, there is no enemy. Sarva bhutatmake tata jagannathe jagannmaye paramatmani govinde mitra mitra kathakutah. Where is the debate about mitra and amitra? Paramatmani govinde, govinda resides in everyone. He is found in all our minds. Paramatmani govinde mitra mitra kathakutah. There is no friend or any enemy everyone is a friend. Krishna in Gita spells this. He says, Adveshta sarvabhutanam maitraha karunayevacha. Adveshta sarvabhutanam. Do not think anyone as your enemy. Be friends with everyone. Maitraha. Be a friend of all. Karunayevacha. Shower your compassion on them. Be merciful to them. Maitraha karunayevacha. Pillai Lokacharya, in one of his works, says that Kutcham Seidaval Pakkal Porayum, Kripayum, Uhappum, Siripum, Upakara Smritiyum Nadakkavanum. If someone offends me, first I must not take cognizance of that at all. If at all I note that, then be patient, forbear, forgive him. Kutcham Seidaval Pakkal Porayum, Kripayum. Also, you need to smile at him, because he could not have offended you. Even if he had, it's only the body that got offended and not the Atman. If someone curses me, if he blames me, does he blame me or this body? He cannot touch my Atman. Me, the Atman, cannot be touched by him. He can after all blame me. If there is a quarrel which I pick up and someone scolds me, don't think that or get angry on him, because it is my karma that makes me enjoy pleasure or experience pain. It's my karma. I need to experience pain now. Bhagavan finds a way out. Through your karma, he triggers someone else to scold you. When he scolds me, when he blames me, I feel pain. And this feeling pain is a result of my karma. But to make me experience that pain, Bhagavan enters into the mind of someone and makes him blame me. So I should not blame that individual. Instead, blame myself and my karma for all my sufferings. I'll tell you about one charitra from the life history of Sri Parashara Bhattar. We have two duties every day. One is to talk about the glory of Narayana and to keep on meditating on his divine attributes. Kalyana guna dhyanam, anusmaranam. The second duty is, I need to confess about all my blemishes. I need to talk and enjoy the glories of Perumal. Simultaneously, I need to talk and confess about my doshas. But Parashara Bhatta was so much absorbed in meditating on the Kalyana Gunas of Bhagavan that he could not find time to talk about his blemishes. He forgot to do that. So he failed in his second duty. He was in his discourse on a particular day. When the discourse was about to be over, some of the listeners got up and they started abusing him like anything. Bhattar called them Kridospai and awarded them with a shawl, awarded them with a chain and with a ring. The other people, the ardent followers of Bhattar, thought, we could have also behaved so if we would have been gifted with all this. We have been praising him all along, but it seems by praising you are not going to be gifted. You are rewarded for only abusing him. Why so? Bhattar gave a quick reply. I have two duties. I have failed in one. Just now I confessed. And this gentleman, instead of me performing that duty, he has done it on my behalf. I should have abused myself. I should have confessed about my bad qualities. I didn't find time to do that. Instead, this gentleman did it on my behalf. If someone does some job on your behalf, will you reward him or not? That's why I rewarded him. Will you get this opinion? It's very difficult to think in these lines. We would immediately frown on the person who scolded us, who abused us. Whereas Parashara Bhatta said that Swadosha Kathanam and Para Kalyana Guna Kathanam. Kalyana Guna Kathanam, you need to talk the glories and attributes of Narayana and talk about my blemishes. Both the things have to happen. Prahlada propagated this to all the Asura Balakas. To the surprise of all the Asura boys, Prahlada started preaching about Narayana and the significance of chanting his holy names. They were not used to this at all. They were used to chant the name of Hiranyakashipu, Om Hiranyaya Namaha. Whereas Prahlada preached them, Om Namo Narayanaya. The more he preached, the more they repeated Hiranyaya Namaha. But Prahlada, at the end, he conquered them. with his beautiful teachings, he conquered all the Asura Balakas and made them all chant Om Namo Narayanaya. I will read through those shlokas. Balye kridanaka saktaha yavane vishayonmukhaha ajnanayan tyashaktyacha vartakam samupasthitam tasmad balye vivekaatma yateya shreyaseya sada balya yavana vriddhadyai dehabhavai rasamyutah. O young ones, you are young kids now. Let me teach you now. Don't think that bhakti is only after retirement. Bhakti should be born along with us. It must be sahaja bhakti. We often presume that you can attend discourses, bhajan, kshetratanam, pilgrimage, all after retirement. Till retirement, you work, you earn, and you save. But after retirement, go to spirituality. That's not the case. Because after retirement, even if you want to, your limbs, your organs would not support you. They won't cooperate with you. In our earlier age, we didn't want to go, but we were hale and healthy. Now we want to go, but we are not hale and healthy. So it's better we do it at a younger age. So Prahlada preached all the Asura Balakas. If you divide your lifetime, you have Shaishava, Balya, Kaumara, Yavana, Vardhakya. These are the different phases in anyone's life. Shaishava, I am an infant. Till the age of 3, I do not know to cry. Except crying, I know nothing else. If I feel hungry, I can't communicate that. If I want to eat or to sleep or to play, I can't communicate that. Infancy is lost. Of course, you can't know about Brahman in that age. Even when you are not able to communicate your hunger, how can you have quench your hunger about Brahman? Next, we switch on to Balya. Balye kridanaka saktaha. Between the age of 4 to the age of 9, you are only absorbed in play, in games. We will not come for Brahmajnana. Balye kridanaka saktaha. Now you turn 10. This is the age you need to go to school. Lot of responsibilities. Now that I am in a school, almost I am in a race. I have to win this race. I must get a seat in a good school. Then on, I have to get a seat and admission in a better school for my MS program or PhD program. I need to get a job. All these things takes you to the age of 24, 25. After the age of 25, you get married. It is youth. Between 25 and 35, it is the responsibility of your family. I get a child. I need to grow him. I need to nurture him. I need to get my daughters married. You are almost 50 by the time you finish your responsibilities. Can you come now? You can come now, but difficult to walk now. Can you listen to discourses? I can, but my ears do not support me. Can you have darshan of Perumal? I can, but I am subject to cataract. Can I touch and read some flowers for him? I can, but my hands shiver. What to do now? Whenever I should have, I lost the bus. Now I want to, but I am not able to. Balye kridanaka saktaha yavane vishayonmukhaha ayasaha smarane kosya smrutoyachati shobhanam. O young ones, now with these, as you pass through every one of these phases, finally, even before you could realize, Mrutyu Devata knocks at your door. He is waiting. The first Devata who comes to me is Jara Devata, his old age problem. The second Devata who comes to me is Mrutyu Devata. Once we mature more, once we grow older, it is Mrutyu Devata. There are 3 Devatas: Kala Devata, Dharma Devata, and Mrutyu Devata. Kala Devata is the one who confirms my last minute. He knows that better than me. None of us know about it. He knows about that. Then Mrutyu Devata, the one who really kills me, removes my prana. Dharma Devata, who shows me the way either to Pitruloka, Swargaloka or Narakaloka. So Dharma Devata decides my destiny. Kala Devata decides the time of my last breath. And Mrutyu Devata removes my breath, stops my breath. So these 3 Devatas are waiting in the aisle. O young ones, if you don't realize that, you are going to waste this birth and you are going to waste many more cycles of births. Don't do that. Chant the holy names of Bhagavan. Realize that you are a part and parcel of Brahman. Sarvabhuta sthite tasmint matimaitri divanisham tapatrayena abhihitam yededa dakhilam jagat shichavanda sindippe amayam. These young lads, they asked Asura, Prahlada, we were told that it is too difficult to worship Bhagavan. Is it so? He is the supreme. We are quite inferior to him. Can I ever go closer to him? Can I become intimate to him? Prahlada replies, yes, you can. Don't think that it is difficult to worship Perumal. He is a Swaradha. In Sanskrit, Swaradhatvam is a quality. It means that he is easily worshipable. He is easily accessible. He never demands anything very valuable from you except for pure bhakti. Patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, yome bhaktya prayachati. Tadaham bhakti patritam asnami prayatatmanaha. If offered with pure bhakti, I accept leaves, I accept flowers, I accept fruits, I accept water even. Just come to me, prostrate before me, with folded arms, plead to me and sing in praise of me. That's enough for me. He never expects anything more. So the underlying line, the line is bhakti and pure devotion. If you have, if you serve the devotees, if you serve the humans, if you serve anybody for that matter, you may be saving Gomata, cows. You may be saving human beings. You will have to rush to help the needy. Vaishnavam or a Shri Vaishnava can be easily identified, not only by the external marks, but by his internal behavior. A Shri Vaishnava is one who will jump and rush to help the needful. Whoever is in a need, we go to help them. Prahlada said, let us help all. Let us first help ourselves. Let's chant. Let us only go by the path of Dharma and not listen to Hiranyakashipu and all his wrong deeds. Asura Balakas questioned him, how come we go closer to Perumal? Is there a way out? If we chant the name of Narayana, then we will be killed. We will be punished by Hiranyakashipu. Who will come and protect us? Will you? Prahlada said, I need not. You have not understood what I have been trying to tell you. I am not your savior. I am not your protector. Narayana is your savior. He is the only protector. Ishwarana Olindavar Rakshakarallar Enbadai Prapanna Paritranathile Sonnom. Pillilokacharya says that except Sarveshwara Narayana, none can protect you. Rute Nahi Palana Samarthyam Rute Sarveshwara. Palana Samarthyam is the skill to protect. Except for Narayana, nobody else enjoys that skill to protect. He would come to protect you. Also Prahlada added, Pratar Deveti Krishneti, Govindeti cha Jalpatam, Madhyanne cha Avara Aparanne cha, Kovasadaha sa Uchyatam. Oh my friends, if you chant, Pratar Deveti Krishneti, Govindeti cha Jalpatam, you chant in the morning, Deva, you chant in the morning, Krishna, you chant in the morning, Govinda. If you have any trouble in the afternoon or in the evening, come to night and complain to me. You will certainly not have. Pratar Deveti Krishneti Govindeti cha Jalpadam Madhyanne cha Aparanne cha Kovasadaha sa Uchyatam. Prahlada is so confident that he tells the boys, chant his name, you will not be in trouble at all. He will come to rescue you. Yes. All the boys were moved by the preachings of Prahlada. They wanted to do. They started chanting. Now the message went to Hiranyakashipu. Already one was affected. Now the infection is spreading. It didn't stop with Prahlada. It is now fastly, rapidly spreading. Alva said, Yengumulan kannanenna mahanai kaindu. Ing illayal en niranayan thoon pudaippa. Ang appuluthe avanviya thonniyan chingappiran perumai. Arayim shirumaitte. பள்ளியிலோதி வந்த தன் சிறுவன் வாயில் ஓர் ஆயிர நாமம் ஒள்ளியவாகி போத. ஹி வாஸ் ஒன்லி அ ஸ்கூல் கோயிங் பாய், பட் யட் ஹீ குட் சாண்ட் தௌசண்ட் ஹோலி நேம்ஸ். பள்ளியிலோதி வந்த தன் சிறுவன் வாயில் ஓர் ஆயிர நாமம் ஒள்ளியவாகி போத. தெர் இஸ் அ டவுட் ஹியர். ஹி ஒன்லி சாண்டட் த நேம் ஆஃப் நாராயணா, வெரஸ் ஆழ்வார் கமிட்ஸ் தட் ஹி சாண்டட் தௌசண்ட் நேம்ஸ். டிட் ஹி? ஹி சாண்டட் ஒன்லி ஒன். We can interpret it in two different ways. The first Vyakhyanam is, since he was a young boy, even if he says one, that would equal to 1,000. If he is, the boy is very, very young, or a young girl, he repeats he chants a rhyme, he tells a poem, then we would say, now she has mastered Wordsworth. This is what we can say. She would have only chanted one poem, one stanza. Anala shalana kaakkaikku tan kunju pon kunju. For anybody, his son or if his, her daughter, if she chants, it's good to her. It is so great. Adhe பத்து வீட்டுக்கு அண்ணன்ட இருக்கிற பிள்ளை முழுக்கவே ஒப்பிச்சா கூட வளரி துஞ்சிடணும். அது வேற யாரும், இஃப் இட் வாஸ் சம் அதர் பாய், ஈவன் இஃப் இட் வாஸ் ரைட் இன் மென்ஷனிங் எவ்ரி திங் அண்ட் இன் சாண்டிங் த ஹோல் பேசேஜ், வி வுட் சே தட் இட் ட்ரை டு சாண்ட் ஆர் ரிப்பீட் சம்திங் விச் டிட் ஹேப்பன். பட் இஃப் இட்ஸ் மை சன், ஈவன் இஃப் ஒன் பயம் ரிசைட்டட், ஐ சே தட் ஹி ஹஸ் மாஸ்டர்ட் எவ்ரி திங். வி ஆல் லவ் அவர் கிட்ஸ். ஸோ யூ கேன் சே தட் ஈவன் இஃப் இட் செட் ஒன்லி அபவுட் ஒன் நாமா, அபவுட் நாராயண நாமா, யூ கேன் கன்ஸ்ட்ரூ தட் டு பி சாண்டிங் ஆல் த 1000 நேம்ஸ். திஸ் இஸ் ஒன். There is second interpretation to this. Narayana Nama in glory equals 1000 Namas. The significance of the name Narayana, it can equal many more 1000 names. So he chanted that Narayana Nama, Vistaraha Sarvabhutasya Vishno Sarvamidam Jagat. My fellow students, this Jagat, this whole universe is permeated by Sriman Narayana. He is all pervasive. Now looking at all this, Hiranyakashipu thought, I need to stop this immediately. He called for all his chieftains and ordered, now is the time to kill Prahlada. You choose the way which you want to. You may drown him in a sea, or you may tell an elephant to kill this lad, or you may administer poison to him, or you may roll him down from a mountain. They started doing all this, but Prahlada never got disturbed at all. When he was coming rolling down the mountain, he held his manas. He held it so tightly that Parashara Maharishi was quite surprised. He said, why is this young boy holding his manas? Why is he holding his chest? He thought, this is the place where Narayana resides. When I am rolling, my body is rolling. So would Bhagavan. He would be rolling, but nothing should disturb him. Let me hold him back. That was the thinking in the mind of Prahlada. So Bhagavan, every now and then, when Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill Prahlada, he came to his rescue. He saved him. Finally, nothing could kill Prahlada. Hiranyakashipu took this credit too. He thought that, my son, I am not able to kill him because Yamadharmaraja is afraid of me. He won't kill me, so he does not want to kill my son too. He didn't want to give the credit to his son. He took that credit too on himself. Finally, he called for Prahlada, made him said, now let me tell you, I am warning you for the last time. Let me send you back to the school. Go there. Prahlada said, I would not go there. Because they are teaching about friends and enemies to me. I am not going to accept friendship and enmity. It's all friends in my mind. Hiranyakashipu immediately asked him, show that guy who is making you talk against me. Show me. I will take care of him. Prahlada, with a smiling face, replied to him, the one who made you ask this question, O father, made me talk about Narayana Namam too. Don't think that your master is different from mine. Sarvabhutatmake tata jagannathe jagannmaye shastha vishnur asheshasya jagatoyo pratishthitah. There is only one shastha to this entire universe, and that he is Sriman Narayana. Shastha vishnur asheshasya jagatoyo pratishthitah. Hiranyakashipu questions, Prahlada suprabhavosi kimetatte vicheshtitam etan mantradi janita mutaho sahajam tava na mantradi kritastata nacha naisargiko mava prabhava eva samanya yasya yasya achyuto hrudi. Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlada, tell me, do you have any mantra siddhi? I am not able to kill you at all. I think you have some mantra shakti with you. What is it? Let me know. Prahlada said, there is no mantra shakti with me. I have only one shakti, and that's not my shakti. It is the shakti of my master. It is the shakti of the one who resides in me. That shakti, father, is available in you too. Don't think that I am only enjoying that shakti. You too have the same, but unfortunately you have not recognized that shakti. The moment you recognize, we will all become pious. Then Parashara Maharishi says, tatastam chikshupush sarve balam daiteya danavaha papata sobhyata kshiptaha hridayena udvahan harim tato bhagavatatasya rakshartham chakramuttamam ajagama samajnyaptam jwala mali sudarshanam. They all together decided, the ministers of Hiranyakashipu, the senapatis of Hiranyakashipu, they decided and created a big bhutam. That bhutam was ordained to go and kill Prahlada. The bhutam came running to kill Prahlada. Immediately the Sudarshana Chakra, the divine discus of Sriman Narayana, came to the rescue of Prahlada. How can someone offend my devotee? I will see to that that he is killed. Now this Bhutam, which was sent by the Acharyas of Prahlada. Prahlada had two Acharyas, Chanda and Marka. These two were the sons of Shukracharya, the Asurakula Guru. Already there is one Asurakula, and he had two sons, Chanda and Marka. The Chanda and Marka only sent this Krityai, this Mahabhutam, to kill Prahlada. As this Bhutam could not affect Prahlada, it was driven away from Sudarshana Chakra. It came back to hit and kill the same Chanda and Marka. Chanda, Marka prostrated before Prahlada. We are in trouble, kindly save us. Prahlada pleaded to Sudarshana Chakra, O Sudarshana, kindly pardon them on my behalf. Because they were not the culprits. It is Hiranyakashipu who drove them. Hiranyakashipu who triggered them to do this. Kshinatu sarvamayasu pavanecha kshayangate grihitaniti shastram tam vinitancha yada guruhu. Prahlada tells his father finally, sarva bhutatmake tatan jagannathe jagannmaye paramatmani govinde mitra mitra kathakutah. When we are all belonging to the same Narayana, why should we quarrel between us? Will my right arm fight with my left arm? It would not. Will my middle finger fight with my index finger? It will not, because both belong to me. So the moment you realize that two things belong to me, for two things one person is the master, they don't fight amongst themselves. If you realize that all of us are the belongings of the same Narayana, we cannot fight between us at all. But we fight because I think that I belong to a different entity, you belong to a different entity. We do not. All of us belong to the same entity, the same Supreme Brahman. If you realize that we are the part and parcel of the same Brahman, we will not quarrel at all. There will be shanti, absolute peace and universal brotherhood will rule over this entire universe. Tvayasti Bhagavan Vishnuhu maicha anyatra chasti saha. Vishnu is found in you, is found in me, is found everywhere. Hiranyakashipu questions, show me where that Vishnu is. Prahlada said, O father, you are not understanding whatever I try to explain. I told you he is found everywhere. You are asking me, show me where he is. I told you he is found everywhere. Why should I show? If I point my fingers to this wall, it would mean that I am restricting the existence of Narayana to that particular place. It's not so. He is found everywhere. He is found everywhere and anywhere. Tvayasti mayasti cha sarvabhutatmake tata urvyamasti udakeshu chasti sada asti sarvatra asti. Sada asti, he is found always. Sarvatra asti, he is found everywhere. Tvayasti, he resides in you. Mayasti, he resides in me. You can't differentiate between you and me. If we are all the part of the same Brahman, Brahmatmakam sarvam vishnumayam jagat. So you can't make me show my fingers at a point. Prahlada was worried because many theists would catch hold of this statement. If asked, I show my fingers to a particular place, here is Brahman, then immediately I'll have 10 more people arguing against this. Yes, now Krishna Swami has agreed that Brahman is not there. When I showed my fingers here and told Brahman is here, then many would argue against me. You just now accepted that he is not there because I showed my finger here. That's the reason why Prahlada does not want to commit at all. He keeps on repeating, sarvatra asti, sada asti, tvai asti, mai asti cha. He is in me, he is in you, he is everywhere, he is anywhere, he is always. But Hiranyakashipu was such a dud that he could not understand these things. So he requested Prahlada, now you need to show me. You can't dodge me like this. Tell me whether he is here or not. And he was just showing his finger to a big pillar. It was in the big palace of Hiranyakashipu. Yes, Prahlada had no other go than to agree and point his finger. He showed to that pillar. Now from that pillar, Bhagavan Sri Nrisimha emanated. He was born from that pillar as a man-lion form. Bhagavan chose that man-lion form because to uphold the boons given by Brahma. Brahma had already given many varams to Hiranyakashipu, that a man would not kill, an animal would not kill him, not in the day, not in the night, not outside, not inside, not in the ether, not on earth, not by anything that has life, not by any weapon that has no life. There are so many ifs and buts there. He has asked all the permutations and combinations. But finally, Hiranyakashipu requested to Brahma, Bhutebhyah, Tad Visishtebhyah, O Brahma, by all that is created by you, I must not be killed. Brahma was relieved listening to that finally. Yes, now I am relieved because I have someone who created me. All that was created by me cannot kill you. But there is someone who created me too. Now please recall all the Samashti Srishti and Vyakti Srishti, Sadvaraka Srishti and Advaraka Srishti, which we have dealt with in detail. It's easily understandable now. Whatever we spoke of in theory is simply demonstrated here as practical. This is how Itihasa Purana help us in retaining, in getting reminded of many difficult concepts. So Prahlada showed his finger. Here is Bhagavan. Yes, he is inside this pillar. Immediately Bhagavan came out of the pillar. His neck and above was of a lion form. His neck and beneath was of a man form. Why did he choose this? He chose this to uphold all the boons given by, blessed by Brahma. He killed Hiranyakashipu sitting on a stone, stepping stone. He was sitting on a step. He was on a step, so he was neither on the earth nor on ether. Not in Akasha, not in Bhumi. He killed Hiranyakashipu at dusk. So it was not daytime, not the night time. He chose the in-between path between the front door and the backyard. So it was neither outside nor backside. And he chose the right moment. And he had to choose a weapon. He himself, his form was not of a pure man, not of a pure lion. So he blended both. Yengumulan kandan endra mahanai kaindu, ing illayal, ennu iraniyan thoon pudaippa. When Prahlada showed his fingers, immediately Hiranyakashipu was furious. He rushed and he hit that pillar with his big mace. Immediately the pillar broke. Endra mahanai kaindu, ing illayal, en iraniyan thoon pudaippa. Angu, appozhudhe, avan viyat thonriya. Bhagavan came out immediately. He incarnated there. Angu, appozhudhe, then. It was not 10 minutes later. It was not in the next pillar. If Bhagavan came out of the next pillar, Hiranyakashipu would not agree. If he came out after 10 minutes, Hiranyakashipu would not agree. Ange appozhudhe avan viya thonni en singappiran perumai. Lastly, the boon also said, no weapon with life or without life can kill Hiranyakashipu. Is there a weapon like that? Either I have life, so I can kill him physically. Or a knife, it has no life, it can cut him open. So only these two are possible. But Bhagavan decided with his nail. Nail was the knife which he chose. That was the weapon. Nail has both the qualities. When you cut, it does not pain. So there is no life. After you cut, it grows. So there is life. Is there life or no life? No. He chose this nail because there you can categorize as with a life or without life. Nakakrakachaka pratikratita daityavakshasthali samuddhar uthirachatha. He put Hiranyakashipu, he laid Hiranyakashipu on his lap and started killing him. Yes, Hiranyakashipu was finally killed. With his blood-stained hand, Bhagavan placed his hand on the holy head of, on the mastaka of Prahlada. He blessed him. Bhagavan tells to Prahlada, even when I killed your father before your eyes, you were undisturbed, you were unperturbed, your bhakti was resolved on me, you had focused on me. So I need to give you some boon, whatever you want, you can ask for that. Prahlada said, I am not here to request for boons from you. That was my father who did. I have some intelligence. I won't ask anything from you. I don't want. A bhakta never wishes anything. A bhakta wants to give his master. If you are a bhakta, I need to serve my master and not beg with you. I will beg for moksham, for nothing else. I will beg for your service and nothing else. It is yeoman service, it is pure service that we need to beg and get from Bhagavan. Prahlada refused flatly. Bhagavan said, no, for my pleasure, you need to ask for something. Prahlada was very smart. He requested from Narasimha Perumal, yes, you give me a boon, that never I should request a boon from you. This is the boon I want from you. Give me one boon that I will never with folded arms beg to you. I will serve you, but I will never beg to you for anything. Narasimha Perumal said that, enough of your smartness. You need to ask something from me. Then Prahlada requested, Kambanad Talwar in his Kambaramayanam, it was a Tamil Prabandham, in his Kambaramayanam says that, Enbilatha Ilipiravi Eithinum Ninkan Anbumaramai Vandum. Even if I am ordained to take a birth where I don't even have a backbone, for example, a worm, it does not. So even if I take such a mean janma, even then ninkan anbu maramai vendum, let me not be away from bhakti. I can be away with a backbone, that doesn't matter at all, but I should always be blessed with bhakti. Wherever I am, whoever I am, I must be a bhakta. This is the only boon I plead from you. Bhagavan immediately granted that. So with the story of Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada, we realize pure bhakti. It can come to, bhakti can sprout in any children. It can be with a youth. It can be with an old person. It can be with a male or a female or an asura or rakshasa. Deva or manushya. An asura can be a pure bhakta. Even Brahma can choose not to be. Brahma may also lose, but a cowherd girl may be a bhakta. A cowherd boy can be a bhakta, but not Brahma or Indra. So it doesn't depend on what you are born or where you are born. It depends on whether you are blessed to be a bhakta. So Prahlada story concludes there. Now let's shift to the dvitiya amsha, the second amsha. Now you need to take the short note distributed to you. We had already covered till the fifth page, till yesterday. Now going to the geography. How was this world created? We have dealt with that. How is this world divided? We are in a place. We are in a particular place now. Who divided all these places? What are the extents of these places? What demarcates all these places? We need to go through them in detail. Bhaga Priyavrata Uttanapadav Sutau Swayambhuvasyayav Tayor Uttanapadasya Dhruvaha Putrastvayoditaha Priyavratasya Naivokta Bhavata Dvija Santatihi Tamaham Shrotumichami Prasanno Vaktumarkasi. Maitreya enquires from Parashara Bhagavan. You earlier said that Brahma created Swayambhuvamanu. Swayambhuvamanu was the son of Brahma. Then on, how did this lineage continue? Parashara gives a reply to Maitreya. Oh Maitreya, Swayambhuvamanu gave birth to Priyavrata and Uttanapada. I had already told you about the lineage of Uttanapada. Uttanapada's son was Dhruva Maharaja, Anga, Vena, Prithu, Prachina Barhis. That was the lineage of Uttanapada. Now come to Priyavrata. Priyavrata's son was Agnidra. Agnidra's son was Nabhi. Nabhi's son was Rishabhadeva. Rishabhadeva's son was Bharata. Bharata ruled over this kingdom, Bharata Desha. Now read through this note distributed to you. Priyavrata divided Bhumi into 7 dvipas. Agnidrascha Agnibahuscha Vapushpman Dyutimanstata Jambudvipam Mahabhaga Sognidraya Dadopita Medadishtyastatha Pradad Plakshadvipam Tathachara. Priyavrata had 10 sons. 3 of them did not want to rule any kingdom. So they went away. He had 7 left. To them, to distribute this Bhumandalam, he divided them into 7. All these 7 are known as Dvipa. Each of this part of this world is known as Dvipa. Read through. Jambudvipa, Plakshadvipa, Shalmalidvipa, Kushadvipa, Kraunchadvipa, Shakadvipa, Pushkaradvipa. These 7 are the Dvipas. Now, what would be the size of each of these Dvipas? The central part, the middle one, is our Dvipa, Jambudvipa. Jambudvipa is 100,000 yojanas in length and breadth. One yojana approximately equals to 10 miles. So 100,000 yojanas would equal to 1,000,000 miles. So Jambudvipa, the vast expanse of Jambudvipa is 1,000,000 miles. Each dvipa is surrounded by an ocean. Each dvipa is surrounded by an ocean. Each ocean is equal in size to that dvipa. For example, if Jambudvipa is surrounded by salty ocean, that also has 1,000,000 miles. As Jambudvipa is 100,000 yojanas, so is the ocean that surrounds. The next dvipa is twice the size of the earlier dvipa. It goes on. 1 into 2, 2, 2 into 2, 4, 4 into 2 is 8, 16, 32, 64. So there are totally 7 dvipas. Each one they multiply by 2 in their size. Each dvipa is surrounded by an ocean of the same size. So there must be 7 oceans. These oceans are made of salt. The second ocean is Ikshu, sugarcane juice. The third one is Sura, it's arak, kallu juice, ocean. Fourth one is ghee, sarpi. It is surrounded the ocean of sarpi. Curd, dadhi. What we call as ocean is samudra. So dadhi samudra, sarpi samudra, ikshu samudra, lavana samudra. We are surrounded by lavana samudra. So lavana samudra, sugarcane juice, sura, ghee, curd, milk and pure water. The last samudra is pure water, shuddhodakam. The penultimate samudra is the ocean of milk, popularly known as kshirabdhi. Bhagavan reclines there in vyuha form. So that is kshirabdhi. We don't have a chance to visit that place at all. Out of the 108 holy shrines, Sri Vaishnava shrines, we can visit 106. We can't visit Kshirabdinatha, the 107th, and Sri Vaikunthanatha, the 108th. But even that 108th is possible one day when we reach there. When we reach Sri Vaikuntham, we can have darshan of Vaikuntham. But when will we have darshan of Kshirabdinatha? That is a question mark. Maybe after reaching Sri Vaikuntham, we have such a power that we can visit at will any place where we want to. Maybe then we can visit Kshirabdhi and have darshan. Or if you request to Bhagavan, when he leads you through Archiradi Marga to Sri Vaikuntham, you can take a short deviation, go to Kshirabdhi, have darshan and then reach, whichever way you wish. Each dvipa and samudra are of equal size, but each dvipa is twice of the earlier dvipa. The next, the consecutive dvipas are twice the size of the earlier dvipas, but the ocean that surrounds them is of equal size of each dvipa. Agnidra further divided Jambu dvipa into 9 varshas. So first, Priyavrata divided into 7 and handed over to his children. The first one, Agnidra, he divided the first dvipa, which is Jambu dvipa, into Nava varshas. The first is Bharata varsha, ruled by Nabhi. The son of Agnidra was Nabhi. So Nabhi ruled Bharata varsha. Let's complete where we left yesterday. Bhagavat Kainkya Rupam, Vaivasvat Ditiya Parardhe, Sri Svetavaraha Kalpe, Vaivasvata Manvantare, Kaliyuge, Prathame Pade. I have explained to you till that, because till that is about time. Then it is about the place, then it is about the geography. Ditiya Parardhe, Svetavaraha Kalpe, Vaivasvata Manvantare, Kaliyuge, Pratham Jambu Dvipe, Bharata Varshe, Bharata Kande, Meroho Dakshine Parshve, Bharata Varsha, Bharata Kanda, south of Meru. So Jambu Dvipe, the first Dvipa, Jambu Dvipa was classified, divided into 9 Varshas, Bharata Varsha. Bharata Varsha was divided into many Khandas, 9 Khandas again. Out of them is Bharata Kanda, Jambu Dvipe, Bharata Varshe, Bharata Kande. Bharata Kandam has 4 sides to it. In between is Meru Parvata. The north of Meru, south of Meru, east of Meru and west of Meru. Kindly don't confuse. Himachala is not Meru Parvata. Meru is a different Parvata. We can't see that. It's only mentioned in the Puranas. I made a mistake yesterday. Let me correct it. When I said that it's mythological truth, there was a doubt in someone's mind. They came and inquired with me, Swami, in this country, mythology means it's false. Because myth and mythology. Myth is something that's false. Mythology is only a further extrapolation of a myth. But in Bharata Desha, Puranas are known as mythology only. Mythology never means it's all false stories, but if it is so in this country, I stand corrected. So let me use the word only Puranas and not use the word mythology anymore. If I had said earlier, kindly rub them off. Agnidra divided Jambu Dvipa into Nava Varsha. The first is Bharata Varsha, ruled by Nabhi. Nabhi's son was Rishabhadeva and he had 100 sons. The first, the eldest was Bharata, who ruled over Bharata Varsha. So Jambu Dvipe, Bharata Varshe, Bharata Kande, Sakabde Meroho Dakshine Parshve, Asmin Vartamane, Vyavaharike Prabhavadinam Shatti Sambatsaranam Madhye. There are 60 named years, Prabhava, Vibhava and so on. Shatti Sambatsaranam Madhye, Sarvadhari Nama Sambatsare. We are in this Sarvadhari Nama Sambatsara. Then we talk about Dakshinayane Uttarayane, the daytime of Brahma and the night time of Brahma. Dakshinayane, Rutu. Rutu talks about the six seasons. Vasanta Rutu, Grishma Rutu, Hemanta Rutu, Varsha Rutu, Sharad Rutu, and so on. So, we mention the Rutu. After the Rutu, it is a month. Each Rutu has 2 months. So, we need to zero in on 1 month. Each month has 2 moons. One, the Shukra Paksha, and the other, the Krishna Paksha. So, Shukra Paksha, Krishna Paksha. Then, we have to run through the 27 nakshatrams and the 15 tithis. If you mention all this, that refers to a particular kala. That refers to a particular day when you perform your rites. You need to perform certain rituals. The kala to that ritual has been mentioned and marked clearly here whenever you perform a sankalpa. So now let's go through. Jambudvipa is 100,000 yojana vast. The mountain Meru is so interesting. It is pegged at the middle of this Jambudvipa. This mountain Meru holds it without this dvipa falling apart. The mountain Meru is 32,000 yojanas at the peak and 16,000 yojanas at the bottom. Look at this. It is not 16,000 at the peak and 32,000 at the bottom. It is 32,000 at the upper way. It's at the peak. Whereas it is only 16,000 at the bottom. So it's an inverted peg. It's a nail. It is nailed like an inverted nail to hold it fast. So this nail, this Meru Parvata holds this Jambudvipa. There are 7 upper worlds: Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha, Mahaha, Janaha, Tapaha, Satyam. Beginning from Bhumandala, there are 7 worlds above. Then there are 7 worlds below: Atala, Vitala, Nitala, Gabastimat, Mahatalam, Sutalam, Patalam. Each of these lokas are 10,000 yojanas in width. They are. You can say they are 10,000 yojanas tall. So into 7 is 70,000 yojanas. But the bottom is sharp, is short, because total is only 70,000 yojanas. Whereas between Bhumandala to Satyaloka, it is much, much taller. It is much farther. The reason is, from the last of the underworld to Satyaloka, it is 50 crores. The total number of yojanas is 50 crore yojana. If you take a crore to be 10 million, then it is 500 million yojanas. Into 10 is the number of miles. So if that much is the extent of the last loka to Satyaloka, just deduct only 70,000 yojanas between the Patalam to Bhumandalam. Balance everything is from Bhumandala to Satyaloka. It is quite far indeed. The 7 underworlds, each one is 10,000 yojana high. It's a 500 million yojana distance from Patalam to Satyaloka. And this 14 worlds is known as one Andakataha. It looks like an egg. Alva says that Imayor Wal Tanimuttai. It looks like a muttai. Imayor Wal Tanimuttai. Imayor Wal, human beings live in it, devas live in it, Brahma lives in it. But is it one anda, or are there many, many Andakatahams like this? Vishnu Purana gives a surprising fact here. It says, Andanam tu sahasranam sahasrani ayutani cha. You cannot number the Andakatahas. They are countless. Andanam tu sahasranam. They are thousands and thousands. Sahasrani ayutani cha. Ayuta is 10,000. They are thousands and thousands multiplied by 10,000s and 10,000s. So there are millions and billions of Andakatahams. Surprisingly, each Andakataham is ruled by a Brahma. So Brahma is not one. Brahma is many, many in number. Brahma is not an individual. It's only a post. A post nominated by Sriman Narayana. But Brahmam is one. He is unique. Brahma, they are many. Brahmas may be many, but Brahmam cannot be many at all. He is the unparalleled Advitiya Vishishta Brahmam. So one Brahmam rules over all these Brahmas. Whenever the time span of Brahma is over, Bhagavan immediately changes. Yes, your period is over. You can get away. 4 years over now. The next person has already entered. So not 4 years, but it's a longer period there. He is 4 years here, but it's for longer there. Bhagavan changes Brahmas like anybody could change a president or a prime minister or a chief minister. So they all change. These are all controlled by Vishwaksena. Have you heard this name? Vishwaksena is the chief, is the senapati of Sriman Narayana. He holds a wand in his hand. With that he controls this entire universe. Andanam tu sahasranam sahasranya ayutani cha. There is further to this. Where is all these 10,000s and 10,000s of andagatahams hanging? Will they not just fall? Nobody would fall, none would fall. Everyone is born by Brahman. This is known as the Dharya Dharaka Bhava. Dharya Dharaka Sambandham. Brahman holds, he is the Dharaka. This universe is held, it's a Dharya. Universe is Dharya and Brahman is Dharaka. You can also say that Brahman is the sustainer. Universe is sustained. So he sustains antar bahischa tat sarvam vyapya narayana sthitaha. Narayana resides in everything inside and outside. He covers everything from outside. He permeates everything from inside. I'll give you an example. I am now holding this bit of paper. I am holding this. If I close my palm, if I close my fingers, then have I not covered this paper? This is covering the paper from outside. I have totally covered that. Similarly, Brahman covers this entire universe. Antar bahischa tat sarvam. This is known as bahirvyapti. Bahirvyapti is externally holding it. Externally, he is the one who sustains it. But my hand never can enter this paper. I can hold it. Now this is the held. I am the holder. I hold. This is held. This is the dharaka. This is the dharya. This is the universe. Of course, if you think this as Brahman, then this holds this universe. This is bahirvyapti. But there is something very, very surprising about Brahman. This arm, this palm or fingers can never enter this paper. They can only cover it from outside. Whereas Brahman enters everything that it covers. It can cover from outside. It can enter from inside. No other material on earth has this capacity. Not only earth, from nowhere, for nobody has this capacity. This samarthyam is known as aghatita ghatana samarthyam. Aghatita ghatana, that which is not possible, that which is inhuman, is the power of Brahman. It permeates inside and it holds outside. What for? There are two purposes served by this vyapti. Only if you permeate into something, you can control it. You can order it. Only if you hold something, then you will be the dharaka. Bhagavan wants to sustain this. If not, all these andakatahams will fall. Who is going to hold them? He holds them. I am held by him. This mic is held by him. You are all held by him. But we are not able to see him. You can now see. Physically you can see that this paper is held by me. But I am not able to see that Brahman is holding me. You cannot see. Because we don't have the samskara to see that. If we are administered that samskara, we can see. Can you visualize ghee in milk? Can you visualize jaggery in sugarcane? But is it a product of sugarcane or not? Jaggery or sugar is a product of sugarcane. When I want to drink milk, if my wife adds some sugarcane pieces and tells me to drink, will I do? I will not. When I have to add ghee to prepare alwa, instead, if I add milk, will it be alwa? It won't be. It will be a drava padartha. And if you want, you can have alwa in a tumbler. That's what would happen. So you can't add milk to prepare alwa. You need to add ghee. But ghee is a product of milk. Why am I not able to see? When you show me milk, I can't see ghee in it. Because a process has not happened there. The process is ferment milk, make it to curd. Churn curd, add water, make it to buttermilk. Churn buttermilk, make it to butter. Heat butter, get ghee. Should you do this or not? Unless this process is done, you can't realize the ghee that dwells in a milk. Similarly, we need to undergo a method, a process. Atma vare drashtavyo shrotavyo mantavyaha nididhyasitavyaha. Brihadaranyaka Upanish mentions about that process. I need to meditate on him. I need to first listen to about him. Then meditate about him. Unhindered meditation. Reflection. Finally, I am able to see him. So only when you go through this process, you will be able to realize that Brahman sustains me. Brahman is the one who holds me. So all these millions and billions of andakatakams are held by him. Not only this, there are 7 more covers to this andakataham. So it has not stopped here now. Let me further add, they are known as Sapta Avarana. Sapta Avarana. Avarana is a cover. They surround this andakataha. All these andakatahams together are surrounded by 7 more envelopes. There are 7 more kavas. They are Apu, Tejas, Vayu, Akasham, Ahankaram, Mahan, Mula Prakriti. Don't forget all those. We have all gone through that now. So all those cover, each one is 10 times bigger than this entire Andakataham galaxy. There are so many Andakatahams, and 10 multiplied, this size multiplied by 10 is Apu, which is water. That multiplied by 10 is Tejas. That multiplied by 10, 10 times of it is Vayu, 10 times of it is Akasha, 10 times of it is Ahankara, 10 times of it is Mahan, 10 times of that is Mula Prakriti. Until that, this entire galaxy is 1/4 the property of Brahman, and Vaikuntham is thrice of this. The Upanishad says that Padosya Vishwabhutani Tripadasyamrutam Divi. A Pada is 1/4. Padosya Vishwabhutani, all that we got to know now is only 1/4 of his property. Thrice bigger than this is Sri Vaikuntha. Padosya Vishwabhutani Tripadasyamrutam Divi. So Bhagavan is Ubhaya Vibhuti Natha, the eternal Sri Vaikuntha, and the perishable Leela Vibhuti. This Leela Vibhuti, which is perishable, is so big. Whereas we are seated in a corner here. How are we in a corner? Now Bhagavan has 2 Vibhutis, the 3 times bigger Nitya Vibhuti and the 1/4 Leela Vibhuti. This Leela Vibhuti has many, many Andakatahams. Each Andakataham is 500 million yojanas in length, and in that Andakataham, one part is Bhumandala. In one Bhumandala, there are 7 Dvipams. In one Dvipa, Jambudvipa, there are Nava Varishams. In one Bharata Varisham, there are Nava Khandams. In one Bharata Khandam, there are many sides to the Meru. And to the south of Meru is Bharata Desham. In Bharata Desham, you have many, many states. In every state, you have many cities. In every city, you have many nagars. In every nagar, you have many roads. In every road, there are many residences. In every residence, there are many rooms. In every room, there are many square feet. In that many square feet, I am in a 2x2 place. But sitting there, I stand and question, Brahman, who are you? You need to think about that question of where am I and where is he? There is no way I can raise my eyebrow even against him. He is the supreme master and I am the last servant possible to him. I am such a slave to that Narayana that, but I don't repent accepting that I am a slave of him. He is my master and I am happy to be his slave. And not only me, it's not a question of we. It is Vasishta, Vishwamitra, Vamadeva, Parashara, Vedavyasa, Ramanuja, Shankara, Madhva, who not? All these great noble souls who are all realized, they accept that we are absolute servants of that Lord. And that Lord is so benevolent. He's not a Lord who is going to take life out of you. He's not going to make you miserable. He's a Lord who loves you, he is affectionate towards you, who wants you into his fold. Unless we realize this, we are not going to serve the purpose of our birth at all. So let's understand that this is the property of Bhagavan. Lastly, Naraka, hell, is underwater and under earth. I think we have heard something very good now, but still we have to go through this problem. There is Naraka. Parashara Maharishi tells Maitreya, oh Maitreya, people say that the number of Narakams are 22 or 26 or 32. We ask him, I don't think it's going to make any difference to us at all, whether it is 22 or 26 or 32. Alvar, Thirumangi Alvar says that, Nane Nana Vitha Naraham Puhum Pavam Seidhen. You need to create more Narakam for me, Bhagavan, because I have done all that is possible to fill up these Narakams. Me, one individual, is enough to go and visit all these Narakams. If at all there is any more Papam, I will invent. If you want to punish me for that new papam, you need to create a new narakam. Because your narakams are all filled. People say that the jails are filled. Alvar says that all the narakams are filled. I am here to serve any sentence in any narakam. Nane nana vita narakam puhum pavam seidhen. These narakams all have a name. Would you like to know them? They are many, namely Raurava, Sukara, Rodha, Talapatra, Taptakumbha, Krimi Bhojana, Asipatra. A jiva is sent for punishment to these based on papas. Whatever papam you commit, we are sent to these narakams. Why? What is a papam and what is a punyam? Bhagavan blesses us with shastra. with Dharma Shastra, with the Veda, with Vedanta and Itihasa Purana. The Vedas tell us, guide us rightly, do this, abstain from this. If I do whatever the Vedas tell me to do, then I earn Punyam. If I abstain from whatever Vedas tell me to do, I earn Papam. The Veda says, don't do this. If I do that, then it is Papam. If I abstain from that, then it is Punyam. Shashanat Shastram. Shastram always directs me to do something and to abstain from something. If I act as per the Shastra, then I earn Punyam. If I do not, then it is Papam to me. So Parashara says that if you don't act as per the Shastra Maitreya, you need to experience pain, sorrow in Naraka. In Naraka, Yamadharma Raja awaits us all. He accepts us. Then he questions us, why did you come to me? I would not like anyone to visit Naraka. Unfortunately, you came. Did you not find 1 minute in this material world to chant his holy name? If you had done that, you need not have come to me at all. Neither you would suffer nor I would be in pain. Both of us would have been happy if you had chanted his name. Narakame Shivarkamadum Namangaludaya Nambi. Thondaradipudi Aazhvar in Thirumalai says that you chant his name for once. Narakame Shivarkamadum Namangaludaya Nambi. Naraka transforms to be Swarga. Aazhvar also said that Narakam becomes Swargam. Not only that, when you chant Namanum Mudgalanum Pesha Narakil Ninnargal Katka Narakame Shivarkamadum Kadumidarayavellam Keshavayanna Nalum Kodivina Seyyam Kurchin Tamargalum Kurugagillar Kadum Yedarayavellam. You mentioned the word Keshava, Yedarayavellam Kadum. All your papas are removed immediately. Unfortunately, we don't find a single minute to chant that. We don't find time to realize who we are and who Brahman is, and finally we are ordained to reach Naraka. Parashara mentions, Raurava Sukaro Rotha Talo Vishanasastatha Mahajwala Taptakumbho Lavanotha Vilohitaha. Who all go to each of these Narakams? Do you want the list? It's very simple to understand. We are all eligible to any Narakam. That's the way we need to remember this. If you want to know who is eligible for what, don't be confused at all. We are eligible for every Narakam. You have to choose. You have to choose not between a Narakam and a Swargam, between Narakams. That's what we are authorized for. Kuta Sakshi Tata Asabhya Pakshapatena Yovadet Yaschanya Danrutam Bhakti Sanaro Yati Rauravam. Ruru is a mriga. It's an animal. That animal will chase you and keep on biting you. That happens. That's a punishment you enjoy in Raurava Naraka. For what? Kuta Sakshi, one who gave a false evidence. Kuta Sakshi Tata Asabhya Pakshapatena, who was one-sided when he gave an evidence. Or Anrutam Bhakti, who lied while giving an evidence. Then you are fit to go to Raurava Naraka. Bhrunaha Purahantacha Goghnascha Munisattama. If I kill cow or disrespect cow, Bhrunaha, or I was instrumental for abortion. If that happens, Bhrunaha Purahantacha Goghnascha Munisattama Yantite Narakam Rodham, he goes to Raudha Naraha. Then Surapo Brahmaha Harta Suvarnasecha Sukare, you go to Sukara Naraka, where you are chased by the big boar. There is a big pig there, and that chases you. It hates you. It sees you that you run, run and run for your life. Never you will end. It will only keep chasing you. It will not bite you also. This is very, very difficult to understand. See, if something bites, that's all. My fear is over. But it's not going to allow you to relax at all. It will keep on chasing you. You will always be fearing that, yes, this is going to bite me, this is going to bite me. It will not fight. It only keeps you chasing. And there are many vyadhis in this world. Some are like heart attack. Immediately you get to know what's the result. So there's no problem at all. But something else is like cancer. It keeps on spreading. Or something more like asthma or your arthritis problem, which will ever be with you. In fact, you will have a longer life. There is no problem at all. But till that time, you need to keep suffering only. So these are some vyadhis. Similarly, in this Naraka, Surapaha, who drinks a lot, Surapaha, Brahmaha, who disrespects or kills Brahmanas, Harta Suvarnasya, who robs Swarna. If you rob gold from somebody, then this is the Naraka. Rajan Vaishyahantacha Tathaiva Guru Talpagaha Taptakunde Sva Srigami Hanti Rajabhatam Chayaha. Advar, Tirumangi Advar, in his Naimisharanya Pasharam talks about this. செம்பினாலி என்ன பாவையை பாவி நீ தழுவன முடிவதற்கு அஞ்சி நம்பினானும் சரணடைந்தேன் நைமிஷாரண்யத்துழைந்தாய். ஓ நைமிஷாரண்ய பெருமாளே, நம்பினானும் சரணடைந்தேன். ஐ ஹவ் கம் ஆஸ் த லாஸ்ட் ரிசார்ட் நோ. யூ ஆர் மை லாஸ்ட் ரிசார்ட் பிகாஸ் ஐ ஆல்ரெடி நோ தட் ஐ ஹவ் டன் ஆல் த பாபம்ஸ் டு ரீச் எவ்ரி நரகம் பாசிபிள். வில் யூ ஹெல்ப் மீ? ஐ ஆம் அ டெஸ்டிடியூட். ஐ ஹவ் கம் resorting to your lotus feet. So Rauravadi Naraka, let's not go to it. The way is, behave as a Vaishnava, chant his holy names, behave well, follow the Shastras, rule. There are some rules that are prescribed for each Varna and Dharma, practice them. Then about Urdhva Loka, Ravi Chandra Chandramasoryo Mayukhair Vabhasyate Sa Samudra Saraichaila Tavati Prithivi Smrita. Then on, Parashara explains about the expanse of this material world. From Bhumandala to Satyaloka, he lists all the lokas. Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha, Mahaha, Janaha, Tapaha, Satyam, all those lokas. And the lokas that are in the underworld, he explains them too. Then on, he talks about Surya and its gati. It will be a very, very interesting topic for our discussion. Take the other sheet which has been distributed to you today. The path of Surya. How is Surya level relevant to us? Sun God is the one who desires life in this earth. So his gati, his path is very significant. Vyakhyatametat Brahmanda Samsthanam Tava Subrataha Tatah Pramana Samsthane Suryadinam Shrunushvame Yojananam Sahasrani Bhaskarasya Ratho Nava. Yojananam Sahasrani Bhaskarasya Ratho Nava. Bhaskara Ratha. Bhaskara is Surya. Surya Ratha, the chariot of Surya. The chariot of Surya is 9,000 yojanas big. It's not small, it is too big, it is large. And 9,000 yojana big, it has two harness. From one very surprising factor about Surya is, the chariot of Surya has only one wheel. It runs on one wheel, drawn and pulled by 7 horses. They are not in even numbers. A chariot can be pulled only by even number of horses. Whereas Surya's chariot has odd number of horses. It has 7 horses and it runs on one single wheel. This wheel has two harness, and one harness in the right and one harness in the left. They are connected with a yoke. Nugatadiyana Tamil Sholramulyu. So that's a yoke. But both these harnesses are not of equal size. There is a small axle in the wheel which connects the chariot to the wheel. The right harness and the left harness, they are of dissimilar sizes. That's going to be very significant to us. I'll explain to you why. It has two harness. One is 18,000 yojana and the other is 45,000 yojanas long. Its yoke spans for 1,57,00,000 yojanas. One is tied by the rope of wind through Dhruva Nakshatra. One side of the harness is tied by a very strong rope to Dhruva Nakshatra. Already we have seen about Dhruva, the son of Uttanapada, and Dhruva was blessed by Bhagavan to be a star, to be a glowing star. That's known as the Dhruva Padavi. That's a place that the star. So the right side of Surya's chariot is tied by the rope of wind. Wind itself is a rope. It's a strong rope. It is tied to Dhruva Nakshatra. The other side is longer. That is why the path of Surya's chariot is elliptical. It is not circular. Surya's chariot, the path is very, very elliptical. And this dissimilar harnesses, that is the cause for longer day, shorter nights, and longer nights and shorter days. Because when he is in an elliptical path, I was told that in this place, Surya is not above you at all. He only travels by the side of you. There are many places you go closer to. Maybe the equator is different, the equinox it is different. In any longitude or latitude, it all differs. It's a separate study. It's a study on its own. How science or geography can be compared to the Puranas and the facts revealed in the Puranas. Yojanas long, its yoke spans for 1,57,00,000 yojanas. One side is tied by the rope of wind to Dhruvanakshatra. The chakra runs on one wheel. The Surya's chariot runs on one wheel. Let me go through the shlokas. Sardhakotis tatha sapta niyutanyadhikani vai yojananam tu tasyakshah tatra chakram pratishthitam vima trinabhimati panchare shannabhin aksham atmake sambatsaramaye krishnam kala chakram pratishthitam hayascha sapta chandagamsi tesham namani meshrunu. This chariot is pulled by 7 horses. Now listen to the names of those 7 horses. The chakra runs on one wheel. The chariot runs on one wheel, kala chakra. This wheel is the kala chakra. When sun's chariot's wheel rotates, that means that kalam is rotating. The concept of time itself rotates. It rotates. The outer rim is made of 6 wooden parts, which are the 6 ritus. The outer rim of this wheel is made of 6 parts of wood. Each part is 1 ritu. Vasanta ritu, Grishma ritu, Hemanta ritu, Varsha ritu, Sharad ritu. Each one is a ritu. And this wheel has 3 spines to it. The chakra runs on one wheel. It has 3 spines. The forenoon, noon and afternoon. This wheel has 3 spines. One is a forenoon, another is noon, and the third one is afternoon. It is pulled by 7 horses. These horses are Gayatri, Brihati, Ushniku, Jagati, Trushtupu, Anushtupu, Pankti. Have you heard these names? When we perform Sandhyavandanam, we are supposed to chant this Gayatri, Ushniku, Trushtupu, Brihati, Pankti, Ushniku, Chandagamsi. These 7 are the Chandas. You can also term them as metrics. When you write a poem, it's prosody that guides a poem. These are the signs of metrics. Gayatri Ushniku. I'll give you just an example. When you take a shloka, for example, a shloka from Gita. Dharma Kshetre, Kuru Kshetre, Samavetaha, Yutsavaha, Mamaka Pandavas Chaiva, Kimagurvata Sanjaya. This is an Anushtup metric. Anushtup metric, if you add all the syllables, it will be 32 in number. Each quarter, known as a pada, would have 8 syllables. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja aham tva sarva papebhya moksha yishyami masuchaha. So each quarter of the shloka would have 8 syllables. This is known as anushtup. Anushtup is a chandas. This chandas is about prosody, the science of metrics. So these 7 chandas are the 7 horses that draw the chariot of Surya. Sun never rises or sets. Parashara says that sun never rises, sun never sets. So don't think that Shastra is so much contradicting science and it is foolish. Not so. Even the Vedas agree that. Why? Let me not say so. Whatever the Vedas have agreed, science too agrees. So the Vedas have agreed that there is no sunrise, there is no sunset, as the rays of sun are felt somewhere in the world. If not here, there. And there is a big business going on based on this. All your outsourcing is based on this. All your medical transcription is based on this. All your legal transcription is based on this. If it's day here, it's night in some other place. If not, there is no business for many people. Many companies run on this concept that one, if it is day somewhere, it is night somewhere else. Sun never rises or sets. It is brilliant forever. It carries a mukta to Sri Vaikuntha by its rays. This is an important point now. Rashmyanusara adhikaranam. Rashmyadhikaranam is one adhikaranam in Brahma Sutram of Vedavyasa. He mentions there, when an atma is released from this body, he takes the archiradi marga. He travels to that marga to reach Sri Vaikuntham. He needs a vehicle to travel. The Surya Rashmi, the Kirana, the rays of Surya is his vehicle. So he travels in that. There was a question raised by the Purupakshi. Ramanuja answers. So that would mean that since soon sun's rays are my vehicle, then if I die in the night, I won't reach Mukti. I can't reach Vaikuntha because there are no sun. There is no sun. There is no ray. There is no brilliance. There is no light. How will I travel? Ramanuja clarified. It is a myth to say that there is no sun. Ever he is brilliant. But He is not visible to a part of the world. He is visible to many other parts in this world. If not but for sun, we will all turn freeze. We won't exist at all. Sun is there, but there is some obstacles for his heat to reach us, for his warmth to reach us. Once that obstacle is removed during summer, it is not removed during winter. It is removed during summer. So we feel warm or we feel cold, but still the rays of sun, of course, they all remain. So we all travel through those rays. Let me go through. When Surya travels 1/30th of the circumference of Bhumi, now this is very, very surprising. An interesting factor here, that is, when Surya travels 1/30th of the circumference of Bhumi, if you take the total circumference to be 360 degrees, when Surya travels 1/30th of it, which means 12 degrees, so 360 divided by 30 is 12 degrees. That means Surya has traversed through one muhurta. We have already seen what a muhurta is. One muhurtam is 48 minutes. There are totally 15 muhurtams in the day and 15 muhurtams in the night, during the night. So 30 muhurtams into 48 minutes, that makes 24 hours. I have also told you 2 nadikai equals 1 muhurtam. So during the daytime it is 15 muhurtam and during the night it is 15 muhurtam. So the Surya, when it travels 1/30th of the total circumference of Bhumi, it means that it has crossed 1 muhurtam and 12 degrees. So 12 degrees equals 48 minutes. Is that clear? If so, then each degree is how many? It's 4 minutes. Even today, your time chart is based on one longitude, it is 4 minutes difference. Wherever you go, whichever country it is one longitude equal to 4 minutes. So if you pass one longitude, the time changes by 4 minutes. There's so many longitudes multiplied by 4 minutes is the time difference between any place. That is also the same mentioned here. It equals one muhurta, that is 48 minutes. One longitude equals 4 minutes. Out of the 12 Rashis, when Surya reaches Makara Rashi, which is Thai month. Now, when Surya is traveling, how does this period change? Uttarayana and Dakshinayana. It is Uttarayana when he enters Makara Rashi. It is Dakshinayana when he enters Kataka Rashi. When Surya enters a Rashi, there are 12 Rashis. And he has time to go through all the Rashis. So when he enters one Rashi, which is Makara Rashi, that's around January 15th, Thai month is born, Makara month is born. From then on it is Uttarayana. When Surya enters Kataka Rashi, let me read from here. Out of the 12 Rashis, when Surya reaches Makara Rashi, which is Thai month, Uttarayana begins. When he reaches Kataka Rashi, Adi month, which is July 15th, Dakshinayanam begins. In Vishu, which is Chitra month, around April 15th day and night would be equal. When Surya is traveling through the Vishu Rasi, that's in April, day and night would be equal. And then on, it starts changing. It changes then, night shortens. They will be equal, then night shortens and day lengthens. Between Chitrai, which is April, through 3 months, from April 15th to May 15th, June 15th and July 15th, the day lengthens and the night shortens. Then it is Dakshinayana. After Dakshinayana, the reverse happens. That is, then after July, it reverses. The day shortens and the night lengthens. The 12 and 18 muhurtams, they are divided in the ratio that between April to July, it's 18 muhurtam of day and 12 muhurtam of night. But after that, it is 12 muhurtam of day and 18 muhurtam of night. I have learnt many of these concepts after coming here. Not in India. We don't face all these problems at all. We have the same day, the same sunshine all through the year. We have no problem. But when I came here, everything changed. It changed because the night was long, the night was lengthening, the day was shortening. They changed the clock to use the daytime. They did not change it. Some days they changed, some did not change. They changed come November, they again changed come some other month. All this is to use that sun god. He is the one who decides all this. Our time, our Kala Chakra is under his control. So this Puranam is more relevant here. When he reaches Kataka Rashi, Dakshinayanam begins. In Vishu, then the night shortens and day lengthens. After July, it reverses. These changes are due to his elliptical path and the speed of traveling in north and south. He travels in many vithis. I'll explain to you that too. A day of 15 muhurtams is divided into 5 periods. Right from dawn to dusk, a day has 15 muhurtams. You need to divide it into 5 equal periods of 3 muhurtams each. And they are called as Pratah Kala, Sangava Kala, Madhyanna Kala, Aparanna Kala, Sayang Kala. These are the 5 periods in a day. பஞ்சகால பராயணர்களாக இருக்கணும் அப்படின்னு ஆன்மீகம் படிக்கச்சே சொல்லி கொடுப்பா. கார்த்தாலேந்து ராத்திரி வரைக்கும் என்ன அனுஷ்டானம் பண்ணுன்னு கேட்கறச்சே பிய பஞ்சகால பராயணம். இன் பிராத்த காலா யூ ஹாவ் சம் பிரிஸ்கிரைப் டியூட்டிஸ். இன் மத்தியானா யூ ஹாவ் சம் மோர். இன் சங்கவா யூ ஹாவ். இன் அபரானா யூ ஹாவ். இன் சாயங்காலா யூ நீட் டு. சோ ஆல் திஸ் கெட் டிசைடட் பை த கதி ஆஃப் சூர்யா. பர்ஃபார்மன்ஸ் ஆஃப் ரிச்சுவல்ஸ் இஸ் பேஸ்ட் ஆன் திஸ். மந்தேக ராட்சசாஸ் try to destroy Surya Deva every day and they get killed when we perform Sandhya Vandana. This is a good story. It's very interesting. Why do we perform Sandhya Vandana? Brahmanas, Traivarnikas have to do Sandhya Vandana. And they let the holy water, it's known as Ardhya Pradana. When they offer water to Sun God, this water droplets, they get the power of Vajrayudha. They go and smash the Mandeha Rakshasas, who are obstacles in the path of Surya Ratha. Mandeha Rakshasas are a group of Rakshasa who go and obstruct the gati of Surya. Who will rescue Surya now? He is already traveling. He can't fight with them. He need to move on. So Brahmadeva gave a boon to all the Brahmanas. You perform this Arghya. This Arghya will go and kill the Rakshasas. I told this story. Immediately a child who was just avaruk appadan phone potrunda, who had been done Upanayanam, he came and requested with me, yes, I did Sandhyavandanam yesterday and killed all the Rakshasas, so can I abstain today? They are already killed. To kill them only, I need to perform Sandhyavandanam. Why should I do the next day? But Brahma is very smart. When he gave the boon, he said that every day these Rakshasas would resurrect. Every day you perform Sandhyavandanam, they would get killed. Next day morning, they would be born again. So every day they resurrect to make this Brahmanas perform Sandhyavandanam. I think that must be the only purpose of performing Sandhyavandanam. Sandhyavandanam is a nitya karma anushtana, performance of which will not credit you with any punyam, but non-performance will debit you with many papams. So that's why we need to perform Sandhyavandanam. So Surya travels in 3 broad paths. The travel path of Surya can be classified into 3, a broad classification: north, central and south. He travels in the north, he travels in the central, he travels in the south. Each path is subdivided into 3 paths, totaling to 9 paths. North has 3, central has 3, and the south has 3. Surya travels in each path during 3 nakshatrams: Ashwini, Bharani, Kartikai, the first 3. He travels in the first path. During the second 3 nakshatrams, he travels in the second. So he completes all the 27 in 3 each. 9 into 3 is 27. So he travels through the 27 nakshatrams. Beginning from north, Nagavidhi, Ashwini, Bharani, Kartike. The northernmost of the north path is Nagavidhi. He travels during Ashwini, Bharani and Kartike then. Then he shifts to the second, third, fourth, lastly to the ninth Vidhi. The southernmost Vidhi is Ajavidhi, south of which is Pitriyanam or Dhumadi Margam. You have 2 paths there. One is the Dhumadi Marga, the south of the southernmost Vidhi, which is Ajavidhi, is Dhumadi Marga. Through Dhumadi Marga, we can reach many Punya Lokams. Enjoy Punyanubhavam there, we return. This is through the Dhumadi Marga. And Narakam, the Marga to Narakam is also there. You go through the South Marga only. And all that we need to go to Punya Lokam is through Dhumadi Marga. When you travel towards north, north of the northernmost path is Archiradi Marga. One who reaches to Sri Vaikuntham travels through that Archiradi Marga. So all these Margams are lighted by none other than Surya Deva. The southernmost Vidhi is Ajavidhi, south of which is Pitriyanam or Dhumadi Margam. North of Nagavidhi is Devayanam or Archiradi Marga. through which we all reach Sri Vaikuntha. I have said there, I have generalized that we all reach Sri Vaikuntha. It is for us to make it true or false. Vedas, the guiding light. Now, Vedavyasa was born. Now we have seen about the concept of time and the geographical divisions in this earth. Now we have to go further. The next episode in Mahavishnu Purana is about an Upakhyana. It's a charitram. It's a very, very interesting charitram. It is about Adi Jada Bharata. What happened to Jada Bharata? Who was Bharata? I just now told you that Jada Bharata was none other than Agnidra's son Rishabhadeva. Rishabhadeva's son was Nabhi. Nabhi's son was Adi Jada Bharata. Jada Bharata became a saint. The story is about a communication, a conversation between Jada Bharata and Rahuguna, a king. Rahuguna was a king. He chose a palanquin and he started traveling towards Raikwa. Raikwa was a very noble, learned soul. Rahuguna thought, let me go and learn a lot from Raikwa. So he started to travel. But unfortunately, he didn't have the fourth person to carry the palanquin. There were only three people available. He wanted the fourth to carry. Bharata was going by that way. This Bharata was an avadhuta sannyasi. A person is called as avadhuta sannyasi if he is disinterested in anything. His only interest is Paramatma. Other than that, he is not concerned about anything that's material in this world. So Bharata was enjoying the glorious attributes of Paramatma and going on his own way. As Rahuguna king called for Bharata, you look good. You look quite strong. Why can't you carry the fourth corner in my palanquin? Bharata nodded and said, not for this. He didn't answer to the question of this Raja. He just nodded, thinking about the attribute of Paramatma. This Raja mistook it to be an agreement to his call. He said, you carry the fourth. Yes, he started carrying. I'll read the passages. Vishwadharam yatachaitad trailokyam samavasthitam salagrame mahabhago bhagavan nyastamanasah sa uvasa chiram kalam maitreya prithivipatihi athajagama tattiram jalam patum pipasata asanna prasava brahman ekenaiva harini vanat poshanam pushyamanaccha satena vavrudhe mune. This Bharata was once performing a penance in Chakra Nadi Tira. Bharata was seated in his yogic posture. He was only thinking about Paramatma and meditating on him. There was one deer which came to drink water in the Chakra Nadi. The deer was already fully pregnant. It was, the pregnancy was quite matured. It's going to be another few days it will deliver a child. When it was drinking water, suddenly a lion came and roared there. This mother deer could not, but it was so frightened that it jumped to save its life. When it jumped, there was garbhasrava. The garbha fell down. It was a very little tiny deer. It looked so sweet. All this, our friend Bharata was watching all this. The mother deer could not save because that had to save its own life. So it ran away. This little deer could not move. It couldn't stand. It couldn't feed for itself. It couldn't fend for itself. Adi Jada Bharata thought, if I don't protect this deer, this lion is going to consume, it will kill. So he rushed to the help of that deer, took that deer, nurtured it, kept it by the side of him, started feeding that deer. If that deer ate, Bharata would eat. If that slept, he would sleep. If that laughed, he would laugh. If that wept, he would weep. So both became so intimate. When Bharata was to die, during his deathbed, during his last breath, he was only thinking about the deer and renounced his life. What would happen to him? Krishna says that yamyam vapi smaran bhavam tejatyante kalebharam tam tamevaiti kaunteya sada tadbhava bhavitah. Whatever you think of in your last breath and renounce your life, you are born so in the next breath, in the next birth. So if I think of something and renounce my body, I am born as the same. Bharata was just meditating on this deer. He thought, who is going to feed this deer? Who is going to protect this deer after me? I am going to die. Who will take care of the deer? He was born as a deer in the next birth. So this goes to say that a bhakta must necessarily meditate on Paramatma only during his last days. If not, he will be born of whatever you think. So if I think about a microphone, I am a microphone. If you think as an elephant, you are an elephant. You think to be a lion, you are a lion. You think to be Krishna, what would happen? If you extrapolate this, whatever statements I made now, so a bhakta must think about Krishna when he renounces his body. If he thinks about Krishna, what would happen? As he was born as a deer, will he be born as Krishna? He won't be. He will reach Vaikuntha. That is what he is blessed with. So a bhakta must necessarily think during the last moment. Sata tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara. O Arjuna, meditate on me till the last moment. During bhakti and conclusion of bhakti and renouncing your life, one has to meditate on Krishna only. There is a difference in Sharanagati Shastra on this concept. A prapanna is, there is an exception to prapanna. He is exempted from meditating on Bhagavan during his last breath. He need not. This is known as antima smriti varjanam, because Bhagavan himself takes over this responsibility of remembering. He remembers his shishya and takes him to the eternal world, Sri Vaikuntha. So a bhakta, on the other hand, whoever is a bhakti marganishta, he has to think about Bhagavan. If not, he is born as whatever we think of. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara. This friend was born as a deer. That deer loitered here and there. It was again born as Bharata. Again it was called as Bharata. This Bharata was Adi Jada Bharata. The earlier Bharata was a king. The king renounced. He became an ascetic. He was in the theorem of Chakranadi. He was born as a deer. Now the next birth is as Adi Jada Bharata. Now in this birth, Rahu Guna got hold of him. And that king made him carry the palanquin. Tatascha tat kalakritam bhavanam praptya tadrishim uktopi bahusak kinchit ajavakyam abhakshyata tadapya samskara gunam gramya vaktokti darshanam tatasavvira rajasya prayatasya mahatmanah vishtikartatha manneta vishtiyogyoyam ityapi uvaha shibikam tasya chaturu vachana choditah drinam vishti grihitanam anyesham sopi madhyagah. But this Bharata did not carry it properly. He was swaying here and there. When he thought of Krishna, he fell to the left. When he thought of Rama, he fell to the right. When he fell, the palanquin was swaying. Rahu Guna was quite annoyed. He said, who is the culprit? The other three immediately pointed, your friend, the one who you called. We are all carrying the palanquin properly. It is the fourth person who is erring. Rahu Guna ordered the palanquin to be placed on earth. All the four placed. He got out of the pallaku. He came out of the palanquin. And asked, pratyaksham drishyase pivan. Oh Bharata, you look good. You look so strong. Pratyaksham drishyate pivan. Pivan, you are quite strong. You are big. Why don't you carry it properly? Did you not have breakfast today? Did you not have food today? Do you not have the power to carry? Or do you not have the mind to carry? What is your problem? If you don't reveal the truth, I am going to punish you. Here is a big dandam. Here is my dandam rod. I will punish you with this. Jadabharata was unmoved. He didn't answer at all. I'll read through now. Pratyaksham drishyase pivan adyapi shibikatvai shramascha bharodvahane bhavatyevahi devinam bhumau pada yugavastha jange pada dvayashrite urvojanga dvayavastha tadadharam tadodaram vakshasthalam tadabahu skandhau chodara samsthitau skandha shriteyam shibika mama bharotra kinkritah. This conversation is quite interesting. Rahu Guna asked Jadabharata, why don't you carry me properly? Bharata replied, oh Rahu Guna, you have been listing questions on me, many questions. Unfortunately, all are wrong questions. All are directed towards a wrong individual. The questions themselves are wrong. I am a wrong person for you to ask. Why so? You are the one who erred. You are the one who carried. I am going to punish you. You look strong. Why don't you carry? Bharata replied, I never carried your palanquin, Rajan. Raja was quite annoyed. You carried this for half an hour now. I know that you made a mistake while carrying. Why do you say that you didn't carry? You are the one who carried. I am the one who is going to punish you. You are the one going to get punished. Bharata replied, I didn't carry you because your body was carried by the palanquin. The palanquin was carried by the two wooden rods. These two were carried by my shoulders. My shoulders were held by my waist. My waist were held by my knees. My knees are held by my ankles. My ankles by my pada. My pada by Bhuma Devi. If at all you want to question her. don't question me. I never carried you at all. I cannot. Everything is carried by something else. If finally it is Bhuma Devi, if she is the culprit, why don't you go and question her? You also told that Pratyaksham Drishyase Pivan, you look strong and well built. I am not well built. I am not strong. I am not weak. I am not tall. I am not short. I am not dark. I am not fair. Someone has to be. Out of all this, you either need to be short or tall or fat or lean or fair or dark. Whereas Adi Jadabharata said that, I am none of these. Rahuguna could not understand. Bharata clarified, you said that I look big, I look strong, I do not. Because when you mentioned you, it means me, the Atman. Atman is never fair, dark, tall or short. It is the same. Whereas you said Atman, you, is dark, is short, is piva, is short, is bulky, is so strong, is thin. Nothing of this sort. Atma is not subject to all these differences at all. It is this body that is subject to a difference. You said that I committed a mistake. The body has no knowledge to commit a mistake. Atman never commits a mistake. Now tell me, how am I to commit? Body cannot think. It has no knowledge. Then how can it commit a mistake? Oh, Atma could have committed. Atma has no hands or legs. How can it commit a mistake? Atma, can it carry a palanquin? It cannot. Can this body think? It cannot. Then how can I commit a mistake? So when I say that I committed a mistake, it's not possible at all. Because I stands for this Atman, and committing a mistake is my body. This body can never realize to commit a mistake. Atma can never act on its own. So anything is not possible in this world now. If this is true, then anybody can claim ignorance. That's what would happen. I would slap you and say that it's my hand. Why are you asking me? It is my hand which hit you. It is my hand which slapped you, not me. I am not telling you to claim that. What we need to know is, whatever pain or suffering we undergo here is of this body, and this Atman is never affected by that. Bharata explains to Raghuguna, when I say me, it refers to the Atman, but this is the body. I never carry it because the Atman cannot carry you. When I call for somebody, oh Rama, please come here. Rama would come here. I said to him, why did you come here? I never called you. You just now called me. That's why I came here. When I called you as Rama, is this body named as Rama or the Atman named as Rama? That person would never come to my call after that. If I ask this question to him, yes, here is a fool who is going to keep on calling like this. Let me not heed to his request at all. When he comes, he turns, his body turns. Atman cannot turn. But when I called Rama, only his Atman can realize that he is called. Body cannot realize. If the body can realize, even after the Atma exits, the body has to realize. A dead body never recognizes my call. It is just lying still. But this body recognizes. So the Atman only can recognize. But Atman cannot walk. Atman cannot come. So when I represent myself, should I say I am Krishna? I am Manushya? I should not. I refers to Atma. Manushya refers to this body. I refers to Atma. Sun refers to this body. If I say I am the son of so-and-so, I am the father of so-and-so, it's a wrong statement. I am not. Me is this Atman. Look at this. When I was born, I am the son of somebody. Then I grew. I had a sister. I was the brother of somebody. Then I grew. I got married. I was the husband of somebody. Then I grew. I had children. I was the father of somebody. Then I grew. I had grandchildren. I was the grandfather of somebody. Now you write all this. I am a son. I am a brother. I am a husband. I am a father. I am a grandfather. There is a left line here. There is a right line here. Draw a line in between. All that is left of this line is constant. That refers to the Atman. All that is to the right of this line is ever changing. That all refers to the body. You cannot connect both at all. All these I's refers to Atman. Your father, grandfather, son, husband, brother, all stands for differences in this life. They can only talk about differences and never unite you at all. So to get united, you must recognize the left of the line, not the right of the line. More you look at the right of this line, you change. Why? Talk about different. Talk about myself. I was an infant. I was a boy. I was a youth. I am an old person. All to the left is unchanging. all to the right changes. It is the same Atman, but the body underwent a change. So the right way to represent would be, I, the Atman, has in this birth taken the body of Krishna, which is 6 feet tall. If you say so, then it is right introduction. Never shake hands with someone and say that I am Krishna. Totally wrong. You cannot say this at all. If you say so, you know what foolishness it is? When I say I am Krishna, then you are misrepresenting Atman to be body. Would you like to do so? After I explain to you, kindly tell me. This body is insentient. This body is Achit. It has no knowledge. Me, the Atman, is full of knowledge. Every time when I say that I am Krishna, I am calling myself a fool and idiot. Would you like to do that? When I say that I am this body is totally insentient. Whereas me, the Atman, is sentient. I am equating both. That would mean that nane enna buddhi illadum solligiren artham. Jnaname ille sharirathukku enakku mulka jnana irukku. But when I misrepresent, if somebody abuses me as fool or mad, I will frown on him. But that's what I do whenever I introduce myself. I say that I am a man. You are wrong, you are not a man. When I say I am a woman, you are not. When an elephant, I am not. A lion, I am not. Then who am I? Subservient to the Lord, dependent to the Lord. That is my only recognition. If that is the determining factor, there will be no differences on earth at all. Unfortunately, this Raghuguna was not aware of this. Our friend Jadavarada is going to teach all these things to him. Oh Raghuguna, you told me you are going to punish me. Would you punish me, the Atman, or my body? Raghuguna prostrated before Bharata. He said, I will never question you hereafter at all. I was never afraid of Shulayudha. I was not afraid of Chakrayudha. I was not afraid of Vajrayudha. But I am afraid of the scholarly, your nature. I am afraid of you. Kindly guide me with the right light. Who are you? From where did you come? Why have you come? Bharata said, you are never going to realize this, Raghuguna. Why don't you don't question this to anybody? These questions, three questions are irrelevant. Bharata says that you put this question to anyone, you will get the same reply. If you ask me who are you, I will say whoever you are, I am the same. I am not different. If you ask me where from you came from the womb of a mother, I came from the garbha of a mother. We all both came from the same place. If you ask me what is your purpose, why did you visit here? I would say that you visited here to exhaust your karma. I visited here to exhaust my karma. Is there a different objective? Not at all. The only difference, Raghuguna, is you sit on a palanquin and exhaust your karma. I carry the palanquin and exhaust my karma. This is the only difference. You are sitting there. I am given a seat here. It does not mean that your purpose is different from mine. Both of us are here to exhaust our karma. I exhaust it by talking. You exhaust it by listening. This is the only difference. Whether you are there or here, it makes no difference at all. All these Atmans are equal. They are alike. They are not the same. I am not telling there that all the Atmans are one and the same. Every Atman is different from the other. But they are all similar in their essential nature. Their nature is Jnanamayattvam, Anandamayattvam, Bhagavat Cheshabhutattvam, Bhagavat Paratantriyam. In this essential nature, all these Atmans are one and the same. Finally, Raghuguna prostrated before Jadavarada and accepted that I need not go into Raikva anymore. Here is my Lord. Here is my Master who is going to teach me everything. Then on the whole of the second chapter of Gita was taught by Jadavarada to Raghuguna. In the second chapter of Gita, Bhagavan talks about the eternal nature of the Atman and the perishable nature of the body. With that, we conclude that episode. Now we come to the next adhyaya, the very important teaching of Ribhu and Nidaga. This also talks about the Atman and the characteristics of the Atman. The story is very, very humorous. I'll go through them. Ribhur nama abhavat putraha brahmana parameshtinaha tasya shishyo nidago bhutu pulastyastanayaha. There was one acharya by name Ribhu. His shishya was Nidaga. Ribhu, Nidaga. The conversation between Ribhu and Nidaga is this episode. Devaki, the devikayastate veera nagaram nama vaipuram samruddham atiramyancha pulastyena niveshitam. Ribhu, bho vipravarya bhoktavyan yadannam bhavato grihe. This Nithaga underwent a curriculum under Ribhu. But after the curriculum was over, Nithaga left to his family. But Ribhu reminded him, I have taught you a lot about the eternal nature of Atman. It's a very, very nebulous subject. Kindly be reminded every day. Don't forget that. Nithaga nodded and says, of course I will not forget. I will remember forever that body perishes and Atman is eternal. No difference between the Atmans. Atmans are only alike. I will remember. 1,000 years rolled by. After 1,000 years, Ribhu wanted to test his Shishya Nithaga. So he appeared. Already he had grown very, very old. He had very white beard. He was sporting a beard. He did not identify himself. Neither our Nithaka could identify his Acharya. Because 1,000 years have rolled by. They couldn't identify. Ribhu entered the house of Nithaga. When he entered, he looked very tired. He was shaky. He was shivering. Oh Nithaga, oh noble person, can you feed me anything? Nithaga said, first be seated. Let me offer you respects and Arghyapadya Achamaniya. Whatever you want, I will offer you. Can I give you wheat? Can I give you rice? Can I give you something to eat? Immediately, Ribhu questions Nithaga, I don't want all this common food. I want something special. Can you give me Dirgha Shashkuli? Dirgha Shashkuli in Sanskrit means, I do not know about that in English. I'll tell you in Tamil. If people who do not know Tamil here, please inquire from others. Tengudal. Adhikku thaan Dirgha Shashkuli in peyar. Dirgham na neelama irukku. Kodal kodala sutra alliyo. Tengudalukku Dirgha Shashkuli in peyar. Dirgha Shashkuli irukka. More kodambu irukka. We have the gravy of buttermilk. We have more kodambu. Idu irundhuchuna konda. Then he went inside. Requested to his wife. Oh, Kalyani. An learned person, an old person has visited our house. He wants something. Can you feed him? Kalyani immediately accepted. Why not? It is Athityam. I will ask, of course, feed him. They all cooked immediately. A person, the visitor was given. It was good Athityam. He had his mouth full and his stomach full. He went and rested. He asked, where should I rest? I am so tired after eating. Can you show me a place to rest? Nithaga showed a place. He reclined. He was lying. Nithaga was fanning him. After fanning, he requested him, are you quenched of your thirst? Has your hunger been fed? Are you happy now? Are you relaxing? Is all your tiredness gone? The person jumped up and sat in his seat. He sat there and started questioning, when did I eat? Whom did you feed? I was never tired at all. Where is the question of relaxing? I never slept. I never ate anything. Why are you lying? Nithaga was quite perplexed. What is happening to this gentleman? He is the one, when I offered wheat and rice, I said that he wants special food. And I went and requested my wife, and with second mind only, she too accepted to feed him. With all this, why is our friend asking me that? I never ate, I never slept, I was never tired. So he questioned him back. Ribhu replied to him, only a person is tired. If he is tired, he has to relax. If he is hungry, he has to eat. If he is thirsty, he has to drink. I am not thirsty. I am not tired. I am not sleepy. Why? You said so. I never said so. I only tested you so. I am not thirsty. I refers to Atman. Thirst is for body. I refers to Atman. Hunger is to the body. I refers to Atman and tiredness to this body. I am not tired, I am not hungry, I am not thirsty. It is all your foolishness, O my Shishya. I told you to identify and be reminded of this difference. You did not remind yourself. And that's how you are confused that I am thirsty. I am not. No Atman is thirsty. No Atman is hungry. No Atman is tired. He is ever relaxed. He is ever enthusiastic. He is ever rejuvenated. Do you recognize this now? Can I leave this place? Nithaga said, yes. Hereafter I will never forget. 1,000 years passed by. After 1,000 years, the Acharya revisited. He knew that my Shishya is going to forget this again. Now, the concept, the moral in this story is, millions and millions of years may roll, but we will not recognize the difference between Deham and Atman. We only misconstrue Deham to be the same as Atman. This Deham is perishable and the Atman is eternal. If you recognize, realize that, you can control all your diseases. You can control all your sufferings. You can control everything in life. It's possible slowly, but you need to try hard for that, which you don't. We don't even want to realize that this body is different from the Atman. Next time, when this Acharya visited, there was a big procession in the town. The Raja was on the back of an elephant. There was a big procession. There were camels, there were horses, there were elephants, there were trumpets, there were many kalatpade, there were horses, ratha, gaja, turaga, padadi, there was a big procession. Acharya Ribhu appeared there. Chishya Nidaga was waiting to cross the procession. He was waiting to cross the road. He could not because the procession was continuing. Ribhu came and stood by the side of Nidaga. Nidaga again did not recognize him because he has still gone older. Yes, he was older by 1,000 more years. So he didn't reveal himself too. He came and asked, Oh, Brahmana, why are you standing here? Nidaga replied, don't you know why am I waiting here? There is a big procession. I want to cross the road. I am not able to. Acharya asked, where is the procession? I don't see. There is a big procession. There are camels and elephants and horses. Don't you see? Who is a camel? Who is an elephant? Where is the procession? I don't see anything. Nidaga replied, this is an elephant with four legs. This is the horse with four legs. This is the king. The king is on the top of the elephant. There is a big procession here. He asked, who is a king? Who is an elephant? The one on the top is the king. The one on the bottom is the elephant. Who is an elephant? Who is a king? You told me this top and bottom. What is top and what is bottom? Can you say that? Here is on the top of the elephant. Here is the bottom of the elephant. No, I don't understand what is top and bottom. Immediately, Nidaga jumped and sat on the shoulders of Ribhu. He sat and told him, now I am on the top, you are on the bottom. Slowly, with a smiling face, Ribhu questioned him, you said I am on the top and you are on the bottom. Who is that I and who is that you? You said I and you now. Who is that I and who is that you? There is no bottom to I and you. There is no top to I and you. There is no elephant or there is no horse. None of us differ. I and you means for the same Atman. You said there is a procession, there is a king, there is an elephant. All the Atmans inside every body look alike. They are all similar. You have again forgotten my preachings, O Shishya. Shishya now prostrated and said, hereafter I will never forget whatever you told me. I will ever remember that. Then on, since it is time up for us, Shishya remembered. Fortunately, if he had forgotten again, I will have to tell more stories now. So he never forgot that. After that, let us also not forget. Let's recall this and be reminded tonight of whatever we listen to today. We will assemble here tomorrow at 7 p.m. 7 p.m. tomorrow to 9 p.m. Then day after tomorrow morning is between 11 and 1 p.m. Now that we have concluded all this, we are going to progress with the fifth amsha, which talks the whole story of Krishna. So tomorrow and day after, it is going to be only Krishna anubhava. I won't bore you with any difficult concepts. So whatever you have learnt, listen to. If you can, kindly remember them. If you cannot, doesn't matter at all. Tomorrow come and visit for Krishna anubhava. With these words, I conclude today's session. Thank you.